Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
A beautiful fall day that feels a whole heck of a lot like summer. 72 degrees in the capital city right now. Thanks for being with us on this final segment of the Business News Hour. Our guest is Joel Silverman. You heard his story about SeaWorld and all of the mammals that he used to work with. We're going to fast forward up until the present day, and Joel is also an animal trainer for Hollywood. So he's done some of that stuff, and he's also a current trainer, book writer, TV. He's been on Animal Planet for years and all kinds of stuff. We're honored to have him here with us. Joel, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So tell us about this movie gigs that you train animals for movies?
Yes. So basically, I started as a Hollywood animal trainer when I was like probably about 20 years old. I did that for about a year, went to SeaWorld, and I came back doing the animal show at Universal Studios in the mid-80s and really started doing training animal movies and commercials full-time. I've done a lot as a movie animal trainer. You know, a lot of times you have kind of get your niche or whatever. But before I kind of found my niche, I trained Dreyfus on the TV series Empty Nest. We were a spinoff of Golden Girls. We were on, I don't know if folks remember, but on Saturday nights we had Golden Girls, and then Empty Nest we were on after Golden Girls. And we were a top 10 show. And so for you to be an animal trainer in Hollywood, you know, just to get work is, you know, something special. Good, you know, just to work. But to work on a TV series,
that's the top 10.
Well, a TV show, just to, even 1 year is one thing, but a top 10 TV show. So you know, for 4 years, I did it for the, and it ran for four more years. I left the company that I was working for. So, but I did it for the first 4 years, 188 tapings of the show, because we shot, we basically did, it was 90. I forgot how many episodes, but we do two tapings, right, on Tuesday nights, and so in front of a live audience. And so, but I trained, you know, Richard Mulligan, who was a star of the show, great guy. He died of cancer in 2000. Really, really good guy. David Leisure, who Joe Isuzu, I don't know if people remember the Joe Isuzu guy character,
sure,
but he played Charlie, their neighbor, and he and I became really, really good friends. Actually, I just talked to him a couple months ago, around a month ago. And then, of course, we had Christy McNichol on the show, and it was just a great experience. And our director was Steve Zuckerman, who Hal Cooper directed the first couple of years, and Steve Zuckerman took over, and just an awesome, awesome time in my life.
Good time.
And good time. And then, you know, then most recently, actually, I did a movie called A Good Year with Russell Crowe and Ridley Scott. And the people might have, you might have read the movie or seen the movie before. It's a kind of comedy love story. And there was a Jack Russell that I had trained here. And I brought it to France. We shot it in Luberon, kind of in the Marseille area, southern France. We were there for a couple months. An interesting story. So, you know, Russell Crowe starred in the movie and Ridley Scott directed it. I had never worked with him before. And the man was just an amazing, amazing person and a great director. And so the dog was in only supposed to be in like three scenes, but I was there for like 8 weeks. And so every, you know, when I first came there, I told Ridley Scott, I met with him, you know, and he says, you know, he goes, you know, the reason I wrote the Jack Russell is because, you know, I have a couple Jack Russells of my own, you know, and I like him. And I said, well, let me show you some of the stuff she does. And I said, so when we're there, I said, I'm already here for, you know, you're already paying for me for, you know, 8 weeks. I mean, if you want, we can add the dog in whatever, you know. So every day he saw me, Ridley Scott saw me. He's like, hey, Joel, can we have the dog do this? And so the dog ended up being in over 20 scenes in that movie. So if you, but it was all because Ridley Scott, and it was all because he wrote it in. But he wrote me a really nice letter after and gave me a really nice bottle of champagne after we were done with the movie. And I still have the letter, and it was just a nice thank you. And it was just, I tell people all the time, it's like, you know, money's nice, but you know, when you get something like that from somebody that you have so much that respect for, it means the world, you know. And Russell Crowe was great to work with.
Yeah,
too, so.
One of the things I think that people don't understand, and both Cal and I have had opportunities to hang out with the famous, you know, and I've always thought that if you treat really well-known people as regular people, that they appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
You
know, rather than, you know, all the stars and lights and ooh-gah-gah stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
Just, oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. You just treat people that way, yeah.
So we've done animal training for television shows. We've done animal training for movies. And now, fast forward into this world that you're in now, let's talk about the business of animal training, especially dog training. Lots of trainers, lots of people doing this. We have come to the point now that we humanize our pets, whether it be birds, cats, or dogs. You know, we put clothes on on them, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure their diet is grain-free, for crying out, you know, they can't have any soy, wheat, or corn in it. And, you know, it's all this mishigas that goes on with regard to humanizing our pets. Has that been good for your business? Does it demand more, or are we not really doing right by the animal?
Oh, I think it's all for the good. And one of the reasons is because, I mean, I was actually a keynote speaker at the Pet Food Forum about 5 or 6 years ago in Chicago, and there's about a couple thousand people there, and I was their keynote speaker. And one of the things I spoke on was the fact that where we are with animals compared to where we were 30 years ago. And it's interesting because you take dog food, for example, and, you know, 30 years ago, you know, every company had one type of food.
Right.
Well, now you've got, you know, a lot of different types of food that are out there. So obviously those companies are making more money. People are spending more money on their animals. And as far as trainers go, there was, you know, 40 years ago, you know, there was one style. You know, it's very, probably very, a lot of control with the dog, a lot of forcing the dog into doing things. And, you know, when I started working with the dogs, Ray Berwick, who I learned from, he trained all the birds from Alfred Hitchcock's motion picture, The Birds, and it was his show at Universal Studios, and that's the guy that I kind of learned from. He used a different type of technique, and it was all using treats to guide the animal into behaviors and using positive reinforcement and eventually fading out the treat, and which is a style that I use now. And he was one of the unique trainers back then that did that. But aside from that, there was, you know, really only one style really in the 70s. But now, fast forward where we are right now, there's a lot of different ways to train. One of the reasons I wrote my book was because What Color Is Your Dog? Is because I really believe that the best animal trainers are the ones that can actually gear their training based upon the individual dog.
And you had a TV show by that same name, didn't you?
Yeah, the What Color Is Your Dog? Is right. The last one that was airing. Yeah, you know, What Color Is Your Dog? And, you know, that's one thing that I really focus on, is really teaching people about, you know, developing a great relationship with your dog, getting to know your dog, and knowing your dog's personality. And there are trainers that are out there that, you know, beat their chest, and they'll say, you know, well, we're positive only, we only believe in positive reinforcement, and they, you know, it sounds really good, but the truth is that there's two types of training environments, and this is where I really get into my seminars. There's a controlled and uncontrolled training environment you train your dog in. When you're training your dog in a controlled environment, you're training your dog to sit, lie down, stay. He's watching you. Use treats to train the behaviors. When the animal does something right, give him a treat. If he does something wrong, we just make him repeat the behavior. We don't say no, anything like that. Okay. So these positive only trainers that are out there across the nation, we're all on the same page. We all agree with that. Where we disagree is in an uncontrolled training environment. They believe that if your dog makes a mistake in an uncontrolled training environment, an uncontrolled environment is when your dog now is barking aggressively at somebody, barking aggressively or excitedly at another dog, lunging, not walking good on a leash, jumping up on people. That's an uncontrolled training environment. You're not working with him. He's just taking it upon himself. Mm-hmm. They believe in using the same correction that we used in the controlled training environment, which is ignoring the animal. And where I say is, if you ignore the animal,
they'll continue to do it.
Of course, because letting your dog play out those actions is reinforcing to your dog. So you need to find a way to correct your dog. There are people that are out there that believe, oh no, you can't correct your dog because that's abusive or whatever. And it's like, no, there's a fine way to correct your dog. You need to understand how to correct your dog. Yes, you can abuse your dog if you correct your dog the wrong way. But if you do it the right way, then it's something that all of a sudden the dog starts understanding. And that's really what I really get into, you know, in my seminars, and really talking to people about those types of corrections. You know, and
give us an example of that, if you would.
I'm giving you an example. Feet up. A dog jumping up at somebody at the front door. Okay, your dog is jumping up on somebody at the front door. There's trainers that are out there that say, turn your back on the dog. Just turn your back. It's like, okay. He put his feet up. He completed the action. It's reinforcing. And it's like, and then there's those same trainers will say, well, just ignore the dog. And when he's not jumping for like 3 seconds, reward him. Okay. It's like, okay. So you don't think you're rewarding for the dog for jumping for 4 minutes, you know? And it's like, but they think for some reason they're like, well, we're just and so instead of just like saying, put a leash and collar on the dog. Okay. So this is my suggestion. So people come to the front door, dog runs to the front door, he's all excited, leash and collar on the dog. Okay, now you have some control, okay? When the person comes in, as the dog goes to put its feet up, just as the feet come off the ground, light correction, use one of my training collars or any type of collar you have, you're going to correct the dog from behind, say the word no, and correct the dog so he's not able to complete the action. And just basically do that. And so just you do that and start getting consistent with that dog, and the dog starts understanding, it's like, you know, I want to put my feet up, but every time I do, I get corrected for it. But if I stay with my feet on the ground, they're just going to pet me. If I, my feet stay on the ground, I'll just, you know, let, and just like a child, let them make that decision. And that's my style of training. Can you abuse a dog with using a training collar? Absolutely. But you can also abuse a dog with the dog's flat collar as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line, and this is where people really, really need to understand how to correct the dog and do it in a way, a fair way that doesn't hurt the animal, scare the animal, startle the animal, jeopardize the relationship with the animal, but gets the message across, and you can do that. You know?
Joel Silverman, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest in studio. We're talking about training dogs, the business of dog training. Along with the television shows that you've done on Animal Planet, you also recently did a cool commercial for Chase.
Yeah, they contacted me about a year ago, and almost a year ago to this date, and they sent me this. I got this email, and the email was, we want you to help us with this new campaign we're doing for Chase. And I train animals for movies and commercials, and I've been doing this for a long time, and so what ended up happening, they contacted me, and I called them back on a Monday, and they're like, no, we want you in the commercial, you know.
In the commercial too.
Yeah, so you're in the commercial, and I said, well, you know, so we started talking about it, and I talked about, you know, well, I've got a dog, Duchess, and they didn't really realize that, I think they knew I wrote books and everything, but I don't think they really realized the extent of being a movie animal trainer. I said, well, I definitely want to, you know, I'll coordinate the animal action as well. And of course, one of the dogs in the commercial, the Golden Doodle in the commercial, belongs to the CEO of Chase Bank.
Oh, really?
In New York. So I actually went there a week early and actually trained the dog in the commercial to roll over. And the dog is great.
And everybody loves it.
Everybody loves it.
Yeah. Joel Silverman, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest for the hour. Thank you, Joel, for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
If you missed any of this, we will have it up on the podcast post-haste. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, Cal Bierman is behind the controls tonight. Mark McDowell is the program director for the stations. The voice of Insight on Business is Jimmy Olson, liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. For Joel, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.